Hey everybody, this is Wade with Wade for Wireless, and today I'm going to cover three subjects: drugs, morons, and steel. And they all flow in this business. So I want to start with the drugs, and I'm not going to go into everything, but you know, there's still a lot of guys out there that smoke pot. And whether no matter what you want to call it, marijuana, pot, hemp, wacky weed, whatever you call it nowadays, it's just something to think about, and here's why. When you guys smoke pot, it can stay up in your blood for up to 24 hours where it's detectable. And the reason I bring this up, because it seems like in a lot of accidents, they blood test everybody, right? I mean, that's standard process. So, and usually you can't put it off. They usually want to test everyone as soon as possible. And if something really bad happens, if there's a fatality, they test the blood in the body. So why am I bringing all this up? I'm bringing all this up because I said before, if something happens, the accident doesn't become about what went wrong or what failed, although they'll look into that, but the accident becomes more about the drug addict on the tower, the druggie, the pot smoker, the pothead. And that's why I'm bringing this up, because you really got to think things through when you're on the road. I know it's, you know, it sucks. You got to travel all the time, most of you guys, not all of you, but most of you. And I know you like to party once in a while. You just got to think it through what you're doing. And it'd be nice if you could think of the long-term effects. By long-term, I don't mean like 20 years down the road. I mean the next day. Think about the next day. If something happens and they drug test everybody, what's going to be in your blood? What's going to be in your urine? What are they going to find? Because chances are, if something bad happens and they find pot in your blood, the whole thing is going to be about the drug addict on the tower, the pothead on the tower, the guy that, you know, well, he smokes pot. I mean, right away, your reputation gets a ding. And if there's a lawsuit of any kind, blame on that guy. Whether it was you, you know, you're the one that had the fatality, or if it was you were at the site at the time and you were working with him and you get tested. So I think we're going to see a stage where drug tests are going to become mandatory, and they're going to look for pot. Pot's illegal right now, so it's legal in some states, but you know, for the most part, they're going to look at something like that. Hey, what are you doing your own times, your own business, guys? But jeez, what are you doing when you're working? It sucks, but it's, you know, it's 24/7. Like I said, where I used to work, they drug tested me all the time. I know everyone says it's not random. They probably picked me because I always passed. You know, I was an easy. They knew I was clean. That's because I was working all the time, guys. Then, I mean, it's just sort of tough, you know, when you're out working and traveling all the time. It was for me anyway. So with all that said, wake up, pothead. Wake up. Think about what you're doing out there. You know, I don't care what you do in your own time. But, you know, if something happens, they're going to make it all about you smoking pot. And the family, who's ever, you know, affected by this, is going to be affected by that outcome. Because lawyers are going to make the whole case about the pothead. They're going to take all the facts about any failure, any fault, anything like that, and they're going to make it about the marijuana in your body, the THC in your body. Everything else is going to fade away. The whole trial is going to change. In fact, that's why a lot of lawyers that are going to sue, they just recommend against it. They're like, hey, there was pot in the blood. You know, what are we going to do? Someone screwed up. So when you're out there, if you know, it's good to have a little discipline. If you're going to party and all that, if you have a Saturday off, do it on a Saturday. But if you're driving all day Monday, maybe Sunday's okay. You know, I'm not advocating anything. I'm just saying, think things through. Think of what could happen. And that's what I am saying. Think of what could happen. Think of all the bad things that could happen, you know, for your, you know, 1 or 2 hours of funsy time. Think of all the bad things that could happen. If you have a good crew, if you have guys to cover for you, or if you get, if there's another job you could do, that's one thing. But the reality is, chances are there's 3 or 4 of you, because that's the way these jobs go. They push and they push and they push. So that's why I'm bringing it up, guys. You know, that's why I bring up drugs. If you're on cold medicine, if you're taking something for pain, anything like that, you should really let your crewmates know. You should let all your mates know in the tower that you're on something, that even if you're taking cold medicine, it makes you drowsy. It could affect your judgment. It could affect your reaction time. If you're on painkillers for something, that could screw you up even more if you hurt yourself, but maybe you'll make a dumb mistake. Hey, we all make dumb mistakes. I make enough of my own. God knows we don't need any drugs backing that up. Sometimes, you know, you just think things should work one way and they don't. But, you know, it's good to have a clear head so you can probably think things through and catch things before they become a problem, okay? So that leads me into my next point, which is morons. Listen, guys, most of you don't want to admit it, but, you know, I've done stupid things. I was a moron at times, but we do stupid things. We have to learn from them. When you're a true moron, a true idiot, you don't learn from your mistakes. You know, that's the definition of insanity, doing the same thing over and over and over again and expecting something different to happen. Don't be afraid to ask for help. And I'll tell you what sparked this, guys. A guy goes on Facebook and legitimately asks for help or how to do something, whether he forgot, he can't remember, he's never done it before. And you morons out there, instead of helping the guy, you just attack him. He's an idiot, he doesn't know what he's doing. In my opinion, when I look at that, I realize you may not know how to do what he's asking. Maybe you don't know. Because, you know, when I was coming up in the tower industry, I didn't know how to do a lot of things. I learned, I asked. I'd ask not only guys I worked with, but the competition. I'd ask other people. So when someone asks for help, let's help them. Let's be a community of professionals. I mean, that's what we are, right? Let's be professionals. That's what this industry needs. It needs people with professionalism. We need people that can actually not only explain how to do things, but are willing to help those who need to do it. I mean, it's a shame when a guy, and I'm using Facebook groups as an example, but it's a shame when a guy asks how to do a particular thing, and there's 45 comments about how stupid he is, and then someone actually is legitimately trying to help him and explains what to do. And you know what? I see the same thing when something bad happens to a climber. I can't think of his name, but I talked with his mother, and a lot of you guys just attacked her, saying her son was stupid. What kind of human being are you? You know, do you have children? I mean, could you imagine the loss of a child? Then you have people just telling you how stupid they are after they're dead. It just drives me up a wall, guys. You know, let's be professionals. Let's work together. That's what a community does. They work together to build a better future. And if you want to do this in this industry, that's what you're going to have to do. And you know what? It's hard enough with the way business is done. A lot of these guys, they're just in it for the quick buck. But a lot of you guys, many, many companies out there are legitimate companies. You know, I talk to many of them. They're trying to build a better future. They're trying to train people the right way. They're trying hard to do the right thing. And a lot of guys, you know, they train them. You know, the guy gets experienced, and a lot of times they move on. And that's part of the business. You know, a climber has a career path. That's another thing. When you get in this business, I mean, are you just looking for a job or a way to kill time? Do you want to be a laborer or do you want to be a professional? I mean, you have career path options. It's just, it takes a little bit of work to get there. If you don't really enjoy what you're doing now, you can change. If you enjoy some things, you can change to something else. And there's a lot of options. That's what I'm trying to open your eyes to. You know, let's say you start as a tower hand, you start as a ground guy, you get up on the tower, you're starting to do tower work. And let's say you like the mechanical part better than the electrical part, or let's say you like the engineering part, you like the RF part. There's career options. Maybe you want to become a crew chief and run the guys. Maybe you want to become a project manager and run projects. Maybe you want to own a crew. Maybe you want to become a structural engineer, which that takes years of college, or an RF engineer, years of college. There's a lot of options, guys. That's what I'm saying. Don't be a moron. I mean, we're here to help each other. We need professionals. You can sit there and complain all you want. That's on you. That's your problem. or you can sit there and you can work with others, and we can really build this industry into an industry of professionals. I think that would be great. So the last thing I want to bring up is steel. Obviously, most of you climb steel, whether it's a wind tower, a communications tower, a broadcast tower, chances are good it's steel. So what do you do when you climb the tower to steel? You need something to tie off on. And that's one thing that I think that the tower owners really have to take responsibility for. I talk about end-to-end safety all the time. Well, right now I'm going to talk about tying off on the steel. Depending upon what you're climbing, and if you climb the same type of communications tower all the time and you have plenty of tie-off points, hey, that's great. You know, Roan always had, you know, a lot of cross members you could tie off on. But if you're climbing, there's different types of towers. If you're climbing something that may not have the best tie-off points, you got to rig it with rope so you have something to tie off to. You might have to put a man line on there, because that's what I talk about. When you, in my blog, I bring up about how, you know, do you know how safe a tower is? Did someone do a structural? Most of the time, there's a structural done on the tower. That's standard procedure now. It wasn't in the old days. In the old days, you know, they sort of winged it, but they didn't populate towers like they do now. So in the old days, when I say old days, I'm talking 80s, 90s, maybe even early 2000, what they would do a lot of times is they had the structural, they would do a structural, and the tower was so overbuilt that they really didn't worry about anything until they put a bunch of dishes on there, a few cell arrays. Then they're, you know, then they're thinking, well, we'd better do it again, because it's expensive to do a structural, right? Well, if you keep doing them, you know, you can use the old one and add to it and so on and so on. You don't have to go out and do the measurements and everything. You do have to know what's going on in the tower. That's why they do site design, because you have to know all the hardware that's going on it. And in this case, remote radio heads, all the weight, all the steel, the wind loading, all that. And it's been changing here in the past 10 years. So structurals are almost always done, so you know that's taken care of. But what about the tie-off points? Did you ever climb a tower? Let's say you look at the tower, you see if it's safe to climb, and you want to make sure there's plenty of tie-off points. Monopole is a great example. You know, that's why they put the cable up the monopole. You have to tie off to is the pegs, which they don't recommend you tie off to. Monopole is really not the safest thing to climb. First guy up has to figure out what to do. And we used to put a lot of man ropes down, so we had something to tie off to. I mean, it was really something to think about. And, I mean, I've done that. You climb up, you put the man rope up there, you make sure it's secure, and you hang it down. You know, I used to put a termination bar in the man rope, but I just felt a little safer with a termination bar. So, yeah, I did that. Climb leg to leg and run man lines across a face of a tower. We've done that because, it's, I mean, sometimes some of these faces are really wide open. They're really hard to cross. So that's why you need two people. You're on the safety line across. You have to put the man lines down. So all I ask is all you tower owners out there, and I know some of you have done this, just put something on there that you can tie off to. Now, I know there were issues with some of them early on, or at least I remember one issue about one of these tie-off points not holding, but they make those clips. And if anyone knows who makes those, I don't remember what they are, but you bolt them to the tower and it gives you more tie-off points. And I know some tower owners were doing this, but I think it would just be great if we started doing this on any tower where there just aren't enough tie-off points. Even monopoles, I think, would be a good idea. Because then we would have more to tie off to than the safety climb or the pegs. It would give you something solid to clip off someone. So that's the thing about the steel, guys. You know, if the tower has a ladder up the middle and you climb up the middle and you're trying to get to the outside, it'd be really nice if you had something to tie off on, especially the first guy. First guy's usually got to go up there and take a lot of chances till he gets the rope in place, you know, the man rope. So if you guys, maybe tower owners are doing this more than I know about. I haven't climbed in a while. So if you guys could let me know. Give me feedback. I got a feedback form in the blog. You can email me, wadeforwireless@gmail.com. Facebook, Wade for Wireless. You know, just let me know. I'm just trying to figure out what the proper process is. I'm trying to figure out if they're doing it, because I really think it's going to be an end-to-end process to improve safety. You know what I'd like to do? I'd like to get to the point where if something happens on a tower and a guy gets hurt, we can just point at the guy and say how stupid he was. He has tie-off points, he has this, he has that, there's no reason it should have happened. Now look, we all say that now, but we really don't know what happens half the time. We read the OSHA reports. They cover a few specific points, but we really don't know what happens. We don't have pictures. We don't, you know, we're all just going by clues and reports. And granted, OSHA, you know, is doing everything they can to research a job. The only people that really know are the other people at the tower and probably the first OSHA guys that show up. They probably can figure it out pretty quick. I like to think they usually know what they're doing. Not that they do. You know, they have to fill out a report. I would imagine they take pictures, they document, you know, look things over. So what I'd like is if we can all work together and just make the training, the towers, the processes, everything as safe as possible. It really should get down to where if there's an injury, there's an injury because something failed. I mean, that happens. It just happens. Whether you like it or not, it happens. But it should really get down to where if something failed or somebody did something stupid. And that's going to happen. We're human, right? Nobody's perfect. Things happen. But we should have the training in place, the mentorship. We should have the community in place where we plan ahead of time. And the process should be in place where we cover the meetings and we do all that we can to make sure everybody understands what their job is and what their job will be on the tower. And hopefully we'll get to the point where we can pay attention to exactly what we're doing at the moment we're on the tower. It's really bad time to have your attention stray. So that's why I want to talk about drugs, morons, and steel. Just to sum it up, the drugs, if you smoke pot, stays in your body a long time. If something happens, they do a blood test, they do a urine test, it's going to look bad. You know who they're going to blame, the pothead. And the morons, we're here to help each other, morons. So if someone asks for help, why don't you just give it to them instead of busting their balls? It's all right to joke a little bit, but why don't you really help them? I mean, wouldn't that be great? That's why we're here. We're here to work together. Not everyone does the same thing every day, and that's something where we can really help each other out. I mean, we're here to build a community. And finally, the steel. Let's make sure there's plenty of tie-off points on the steel. So if you have a tower that's dangerous to climb, make some notes, document it, let the tower owner know. If you see something that's wrong, let the tower owner know. I mean, that's a deal. We got to work together. Maybe you got to remember now, a lot of these towers are owned by corporations like Crown Castle, American Tower, and so on. And maybe they just need someone to tell them what towers they need help on or they need to fix. Now, with that said, I'm not saying they're going to do it. All comes down to money. But it's a step in the right direction. We're here to work together. We need to make this a community of professionals, in my opinion. So just remember that, guys. All right. Hey, Wade for Wireless. It's Wade again. You got my blog, wadeforwireless.com. I have another website, wadesarver.com/podcast. That's where the podcast is. If you're listening this far, if you're hearing the podcast, I don't know how you found it, but it'd be great if you could leave a review on iTunes. I would really appreciate a review on iTunes. If you're listening on Stitcher, leave a review on Stitcher. So just be honest. You think I'm good? Thank you. If you think I suck, just put it on there and let me know. I'll make some corrections, okay? All right, everybody. Be safe. Be smart. Pay attention to what you're doing. Remember, you should have a plan for what you're doing. And the other thing with hazard assessment, your tailgate meetings, make sure you look over every possible hazard you can find. If you get up in the air and you look down and you see something different for the ground guys, help a ground guy out. If you see a hole, if you see a little hill, if you see something you could trip over, if you see steel laying in the weeds, I know it sounds crazy, but actually that happens a lot. When you're up in the air 200, 300 feet and looking down, you see crap laying out there in the field. Let them know, because if you're going to have the guy with a guideline tagging you out, so guideline, tagline, if he has a tagline, you know, help that guy out. You don't want him falling down on the job, because if he falls and the rope slips, it's not going to be good for anybody. So let's work together. Teamwork. Be careful, be safe, and pay attention. Take care.